When trying to answer what appears to be a straightforward question, what is autism, we immediately encounter the amorphous nature of the definition of autism. If we had asked this question in the 1940s, we would have been given a different answer than if we had asked it in the 1980s, and we will see that the answer has changed yet again during the first two decades of this century. Echoing Alice's concern, we will discover that the term has been applied to an ever-widening collection of unusual behaviours, themselves packaged in a variety of different ways. It was originally used to describe a quite specific and rare type of behaviour, found in perhaps 2 to 4 cases per 10,000 children, but it has now become an umbrella term that is applied to a wide range of different behavioural problems of different levels of severity, variously estimated to affect about 1 in 100 children worldwide. It is also a term that has entered the public consciousness and so has acquired an even wider set of meanings and connotations. I was explaining these changes to the parents of a young autistic girl who had volunteered to speak to me as part of my information gathering for this book. They had been offered many different suggestions as to what particular label her condition should be given before autism was finally settled on. Her father said he thought there was an element of shape-shifting in the terms he found in the many psychology and psychiatry textbooks he and his wife had pored over in their own search for an answer. His observation reminded me of a passage from Lewis Carroll's Through the Looking Glass, which I borrowed for the subtitle of this chapter. "When I use a word," Humpty Dumpty said in rather a scornful tone, "it means just what I choose it to mean, neither more nor less." "The question is," said Alice, "whether you can make words mean so many different things." The origins of the word autism are from the Greek word autos, meaning self. The term was first used by the German psychiatrist, Eugen Bleuler, in 1911 to describe the kind of withdrawal into the self or inward focus that he felt was characteristic of the adult psychiatric patients he was studying. He believed that the delusions and hallucinations they reported might be linked to some kind of inner fantasy life that had somehow become an alternative reality. We now think of autism as primarily reflecting difficulties with understanding the outside world rather than the consequences of withdrawal into an inner one. The autistic inner world may be rich and complex, but reflects the workings of an atypical literal mind, often at odds with the inner worlds of others. Post-Bleuler, we find the term being applied to children whose many behavioural problems were associated with a marked lack of social engagement or aloofness, present from very early childhood. This became the defining characteristic of highly detailed individual case studies that were gradually being grouped together in order to be identified as a single syndrome. History has it that this cataloguing began with the work of Leo Kanner, who coined the term early infantile autism. The term continued to be used in the 40s and early 50s, applied to children whose primary characteristic seemed to be that they were living in a world of their own. Early psychoanalytical approaches falsely linked this behaviour to some kind of traumatic maternal rejection, causing a withdrawal from the outside world. It became clear that the self-isolation that was evident in the early cases, whatever its cause, was a lifelong pattern of behaviour. Although there were other atypical characteristics, such as a rigid insistence on sameness in everyday routines, or persistent tick-like bodily movements, or obsessive fascination with obscure sets of information, such as dates or weather patterns, the apparently implacable social withdrawal remained the main focus of clinicians and diagnosticians, and so the term autism continued to be the defining label. This association with isolation is reflected in the names for autism across the world. It is known as Jibi Zheng, the lonely disease, in China. In Korea, Chape, closed in on oneself. In Japanese, Jiheisho, intentionally shut. In Maori, Takiwatanga, in their own time and space. The Taiwanese version, Jing Jing Dehazy, is more enigmatic and, rather beautifully, translates as children of the stars, unmindful of the outside world.